We're reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 3. When you find your place, stand with us. We'll read the Word of the Lord together. Gospel according to St. Luke in chapter number 3 and in verse number 15. The Word of the Lord says, "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while I read the Word of the Lord this morning. Reading of this person who is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This individual of John the Baptist, he was the forerunner, of course, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's preparing the way for Christ who will come and save people from their sins. And John was a preacher of repentance. And he was preaching repentance, and he was preaching on the preparation of the repentance of sins and the preparation for the coming, the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some heard his great preaching and supposed that he may have been the Messiah, that he might have been the Christ, but John begins to set the record straight in these verses concerning who he is and who the Lord Jesus is. Furthermore, he reminds them that the Messiah will not simply come as a genie in the bottle to grant them their greatest wish, but he will come to baptize. John says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he's coming to baptize you with fire and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And he will either baptize, he says, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see, for those who would repent, he goes on to explain, for those who would repent, he'll baptize with the Holy Ghost, and those who would refuse him, he would baptize with fire. Now, a lot of times this passage of Scripture of him baptizing with the Holy Ghost and with fire is taken out of context. This fire that he's talking about here is not Holy Ghost fire. It's judgment fire that he's talking about. We see that in the next verses where he talks about how that the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. That's not Holy Ghost fire. That's judgment fire that he's talking about in these verses. It is an either-or scenario, the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the baptism with fire. John said, I'm just baptizing with water. My baptism is symbolic and a representative of the repentance that's in your heart. But there's one that's coming after me that's really going to baptize, and he will baptize with the Holy Ghost for those that repent and with fire for those that reject him. And that is the purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse number 17 that his fan is in his hand. You see, he is ready to fan the flames of fire for those who will not receive him. The Messiah's message and purpose was really simple: to gather the penitent as wheat into the garner, my friend, and protect them and shelter them, and then to curse the unrepentant to everlasting fire. And it is just that simple. It is the simple question of heaven or hell. It is the simple question of repent or perish. It is the simple question of you'll either get right or you'll get left. It is that simple. And that is the purpose of our Lord. How one of the men was talking about yesterday, I believe it may have been Brother Bob, was talking about watching some of these Bible specials on the History Channel. And one of the pointy-headed theologians that was on the channel had made the ignorant statement that Jesus had failed in his mission, because in their opinion, Jesus had come to preach the gospel, and by virtue of dying on the cross, he had died before he got a chance to finish his message. But Jesus didn't just come to preach the gospel. He came to be the gospel. Amen. He came to live the gospel. And you know what the gospel is, don't you? 1 Corinthians 15 said it's the impossible to have the gospel without the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not fail. He came to die. He came to rise from the grave. He came to live again. And he came to save sinners who will repent and to judge sinners who would not repent to an everlasting place called hell. Amen.
And that's exactly right. It's just that simple. It is the question of heaven or hell. These are the only two options that Christ gave us for eternity, is heaven or hell. You see, nobody is going to stay here. Amen. And every gospel preacher since Christ has preached this same truth, that it is heaven or hell, turn or burn, repent or perish, Jesus or the devil, sin or the Savior, and there's no two ways about it. Amen. Hey, listen, friend, life has many decisions. I've been listening to this song on the radio. That's a sort of a bluegrass tune, and I have fallen in love with it. Somebody around here might feel the leadership of the Holy Spirit to learn it and to sing it around here. Maybe two or three people learned and sing it. I don't care if everybody sings this one. It said, life has many decisions, but eternity has only two. Amen. And that is the case. There's nothing else once you die and leave out of this world except heaven or hell. It's a heaven or it's hell. It's with eternity with God or eternity and damnation with the devil. Amen. And it is not complicated. I don't want to preach this morning if the Lord will help me on eternity has but two options. Eternity has but two options. Amen. And that's exactly right. You remember the story in Luke 16, the account, maybe I should say, I hate to call it a story, lest someone think it were a fictional tale. But the account in Luke chapter number 16 of Lazarus and the rich man. And listen, Lazarus didn't go to heaven or go to paradise because he was poor. And the rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Lazarus, my friend, went to paradise because he knew the Lord. And the rich man went to hell because he would not repent and did not know the Lord. Amen. That there was only two options. There is no in between. There is no point of lingering. There is no limbo. There is no purgatory. I'm telling you, it's heaven or it's hell. It's just that simple. Eternity has but two options, friend. It's got but two options. I mean, in this passage of Scripture, when Jesus came, what was He to come for? John said, He came to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. His fan is in His hand. He'll gather the wheat off the floor into His corner, but the chaff He'll burn with unquenchable fire. That is, He'll gather those that are genuine, that are worth, my friend, His blood, that will accept His sacrifice. He'll gather them into His storehouse. That's what a garner is. That is an imagery of heaven. And to those who refuse Him and will not repent, He will burn with unquenchable fire. And already, 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 His fan is in His hand. You hear me when I'm preaching to you this morning? Hell is a real place with a real fire. And there's a real God in heaven that sends sinners to hell that will not repent. I've heard people say, well, loving God wouldn't send anybody to hell. I've even heard preachers say, yeah, that's righteous. Yourself, but that's not true. The Bible said that surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Psalm 73, thou castest them down into destruction as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. It is not a man who sends himself to hell. Hell is the judgment of God on the unrepentant sinner. A sinner, you don't, my friend, get to decide that you'll go to hell. You're already on your way to hell by virtue of your sin and the judgment of God that comes along with it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's right. In the latter day in the judgment, men didn't just decide to go to hell. It was the Lord that said, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hear me when I say the Lord takes no pleasure in men going to hell. He wants to keep them out of hell so much. He's willing to have His own Son die on the cross. But if you will not accept the sacrifice of His Son, you will never make heaven your home when you die. Amen. This is not a complicated sermon. It's not a complicated message. But it's not one preached an awful lot either. Amen. Eternity has but two options. And listen, friend, there's only two ways to get there. And I'm going to preach here in just a minute a little more about that. But eternity only has two options. And if you go the wrong route, you won't end up in the right place. Amen. That's right. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But Lord, help us to preach this morning. And listen, friend, to one of these two eternal destinations, every soul is bound. Nobody stays here forever. It's heaven or hell, because you sure cannot stay here. Amen. And by the way, I don't want to stay here forever. Amen. I'm looking for a city. I'm bound for a city. I'm looking for a better land. My friend got my sights and my focus set on a brighter and a better world. Bless His name. Amen. Nobody stays here forever. You're going to have to go to one place or the other. Every soul's going to live on, so let's make heaven our home. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of ways I could say that, but the reality is eternity has but two options. Now, as it pertains, my friend, to these two options, as it pertains to these eternity and your two eternal options, I want to say three things and a few things about the three things. First of all, I want to say when it comes to these two options that eternity has, you must make your choice. You must make your choice. Amen. I want to say nobody can make this decision for you. Philippians 2 and 12 states that you must work out your own salvation before the Lord with fear and trembling. Amen. Be under no illusion that you work to be saved, that you will have to work it out with God for yourself. No man can say your prayer. No man can do your repenting. And no man can confess your sins for you. No man can trust in Jesus for you. If you're going to get saved, you'll have to work out that salvation between you and God for yourself. Amen, that's right. That's the reason why they come altar call and don't ask everybody to raise their hand and then repeat after me. And if this one repeats after me, tell them, and now you're saved and you're in the family of God. That's not up to me whether or not you're born again between you and Jesus. I don't have the power to save or to offer forgiveness of sins. Nobody does but the Lord. Amen. And if you'll get right with God, it'll be between you and the Lord today. Amen. You must make your choice for yourself. And I'm going to tell you, friend, you must make your choice. Somebody said, oh, make a choice. Hey, friend, you're already on one course. And if you're going to change courses, you're already on the wrong road. If you're going to change courses, you must make a choice. You'll come to a crossroads in life, and you must make your choice between the two masters. You must make your choice between two masters. It will either be the Lord or Satan. You can't serve both. Matthew 6 and 24 said, no man can serve two masters. You'll not serve both the Lord and Satan. Amen. That's right. You must make a choice. You must make it between two masters. You must make a choice between two lives. It'll be the Christian life or the sinful life. James chapter 3 and verse 11 said, doth the fountain send forth the same place as sweet and water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries or a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fish. You can't be a Christian and a devil and a sinner at the same time. If you're ever going to get saved, it'll be because you've gotten sick of sin and sick of the devil and sick of the way you're living, and you want to get right with God more than anything in the whole wide world. And that's what repentance is. It's forsaking and turning from yourself and your own way and turning unto God. You don't come to the altar popping bubble gum, trying to make a deal with Jesus, telling Him how lucky He is to get somebody like you. You don't come to the altar and tell God, now look here, I want to get saved, but I'm not going to quit cussing, and I'm not going to quit drinking, and I'm not going to quit shacking up with that woman that I'm living with, and I'm not going to quit doing the things that I'm doing, but I do want to get saved. Brother, you'll never get saved like that. It is repentance toward God. That is a change in attitude attitude that brings about a change in action towards the purpose, plan, and the power of God. Amen. And I'm telling you, until you repent, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said it three times in one chapter. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Amen. You must make your choice between two lives. Listen, hey, there is really no such thing as a very worldly Christian. I've heard folks say, well, you know, them folks down there is pretty good people. They're just real worldly Christians. Listen, there ain't no such thing as worldly Christians. A real worldly Christian. Are you kidding me? What you're really talking about and describing is not worldly Christians. It's lost people. Amen. It's people just don't know the Lord. Amen. They're not worldly Christians. Hey, I've heard some folks say, well, if they'd just get saved, so-and-so would make a real good Christian. Well, if anybody would get saved, they'd make a good Christian. It is this thing of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen to that. I'm telling you, friend, hey, you must make your choice. Hey, you won't choose to be a member of this worldly society and still follow Jesus. They are going in different directions this morning. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 verse 17 said, even so every good tree bringing forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringing forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Amen. That's right. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. You must make your choice between the two different lives, between two different masters, between two different roads. Amen. There is the broad way and the narrow way. By the way, I don't know how many of you, there's that, my friend, maybe there's a handful, I think, matter of fact. I think the only ones that's here this morning that was in the congregation the night that I preached my first sermon back nearly 20 years ago was Brother Thomas, Sister Tanya. I believe they're the only ones here. And just Tess, I forgot about you, slipped out a while ago, but she was there too. And listen, hey, which I don't know if she'll remember or not. She wasn't a 10. But still, I don't know if they even remember. Now, of course, you never forget when you preach your first sermon. I've forgotten a few since then. That's probably the worst thing to preach. But I've forgotten a few since then, but you don't forget that one. And hey, I'm preaching this morning when I preached my first message, and this part of the sermon I preached on two ways, two lords, and two lives. Amen, that's right. And by the way, 20 years later, I'm preaching this morning, and it's still the same choice. It's still the thing where you have to make your choice between two masters, two lives, two roads. You will not travel them both, friend. It's impossible. It's impossible to be a Christian on Sunday and to be a heathen all week. Now you have to choose your path. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13 says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Hey, everybody that says they're saved or not saved, everybody that totes the Bible is not a Christian, everybody standing behind the pulpit is not a preacher. Amen. Few there be that find it, and you'll have to make your choice.
Choice between two masters, two lives, two roads. You'll need to make a choice this morning between two deaths. Amen. That's right. You're going to die, and you're going to have to make a choice between two deaths. You see, there is the death of the righteous, and there is the death of the wicked. Amen. Psalms 116 and 15, the Lord said, blessed and precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. And the death of the saints is precious in the sight of the Lord. That's precious. Amen. It is the thing of separating from this old body of death and going home to be with Jesus, where everything is right and wonderful and holy. But listen, hey, to contrast that, Ezekiel 33 and 11 said, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It's precious in the eyes of the Lord, the death of His saints, but He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Did you know, friend? Listen, hey, I can take you. I can take you in the funeral home. You can see a stark contrast. I mean, you can have one viewing room of my friend, where a dear old saint of God's hold a body is laid out in their box, they're going to be buried in. And on the other side, some person that never knew God had lived a life of open sin and left their family with no hope that they'd been saved. I can take you in that room if you never even knew there was a God, and you never knew there was a Jesus. And you never knew there was a heaven or hell. And you'd be able to tell there was something different just by the looks or the faces of the people in those rooms. Amen. Hey, you've got a choice to make. When you die, will it be the death of my friend the righteous or the death of the wicked?
It's your choice to make, friend. You must make your choice between two masters, two lives, two roads, two deaths. You'll have to make your choice this morning between two destinies. It's heaven or it's hell. Eternity has but two options. It's heaven or it's hell. And so this morning you must make a choice. Secondly, your choice covers three realms today. There are three realms involved in your choice. There is the realm of life. You see, this morning we have the privilege of another day of life. We have the privilege of another breath of life. We have the privilege of the breath of God that abides with us. For man breathe. God breathed into man's nostrils and he became a living soul. And we have the privilege of this realm of life. Isn't that a blessing? We're breathing his air. I mean, every breath you take in should remind you that that breath is from God. And your soul is from God. Amen. That's right. But in this life, it should remind you as well that someday that breath will stop. And that this life is but a dressing room for what will happen in eternity. This is the place where we get ready for what yet is coming on down the road. If our decision and our choice only covered the realm of life, just any old way would do. I mean, friend, if all it was to life was just living, then any old way of living would do. I listened to my granddaddy preach this week again on tape from back in 1989, I think it was, on our kind of lifestyle and God's kind of judgment. Oh, that's pretty serious business, isn't it? Our kind of lifestyle and God's kind of judgment. Hey, friend, Brother Hanley Milby says just about anything will do to live by, but there isn't but one thing that will do to die by. Amen to that. I remember as a lad of a boy hearing him sing the song again and again. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. One of the verses says it will do when I'm dying. It'll do when I'm dying. It'll do when I'm dying. It's good enough for me. I'll say amen to it. Your choice covers three realms. It covers life. And then it covers death. Amen. And death is an appointment that you will meet. And we better be ready. Hey, Hebrews 9:27 said, as an appointed man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. Hey, friend, it's an appointment you're going to meet. And you better be ready. Three realms, life and death, and then it covers the realm of eternity. You see, the decision you make as it pertains to the Lord Jesus does not just affect your days while you're here, and death will not end it, but eternity, my friend, will be sealed in death. And when you leave this walks of life, however you go out of this world is the way you'll stay forever. And if you die lost, you'll be forever lost. Amen. It will settle the issue. Death won't change you. Death will seal what you are. You can get the priest to give you your last rites. They can light candles and put them in paper bags all over the country. Well, half the world burns to the ground, and it will not bring a person out of purgatory. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. When you're dead, when you draw your last breath of life, it seals what you are. You know what it does? I preached a couple of weeks ago about that book of your life, the testimony of your life. Isn't that right? You know what death will do? Death will close the book. Death will seal the end of the story. Death will tie the end as far as this world is
concerned. And however you end the story is the way you'll be for eternity. Amen. If you die saved, praise God, you can enjoy the goodness of God forever. And if you die lost, you'll be forever lost. Amen. That's pretty simple preaching, but it's right, isn't it? I mean, whether you go to heaven or you go to hell, it will be forever. This is what Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 said. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And that's what it is. Eternity. Eternity has but two options. You must make your choice. Your choice covers three realms. And then secondly, I want to say, or thirdly this morning, I want to say your choice will determine the destiny of your soul. How you deal with this thing of Jesus and whether or not you receive or reject Him will determine the destiny of your soul. I mean, friend, the matter of what will you do with Jesus determines your everlasting and eternal resting place. Hey, it is not determined by riches. You can't buy your way into heaven and you can't be too rich to go. Riches are irrelevant at the foot of the cross. Riches are irrelevant at judgment. Amen. It's not determined by riches. It's not determined by education. Many wise men of this world are fools in eternal matters. And the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. That the way of salvation is simple. Isaiah 35 and 8 said that a man, even if he were a fool, need not err therein. I tell you, it's simple. You don't have to know a lot to be saved. All you've got to know is that you're a sinner. Jesus came to save sinners. If you'll turn from yourself and turn to Jesus, while the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart, He'll save you. Trust in Him to do it, and He'll do it. It's not hard. Matter of fact, that's what causes a lot of people to stumble at it. They want, my friend, to lasso the moon. They think they need to do some great feet. And all the while, all God's asking for is for you to turn from yourself and trust Him.
Amen.
Amen. It's not determined by riches. It's not determined by education. I want to tell you this morning, it's not determined by religion. Amen. I mean, Matthew 7, 22 and 23 said, men are coming to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out many devils? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? That Jesus said, it's not him that says, Lord, Lord, that enters into the kingdom, but he doeth the will of my Father. He said, I will say unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Hear me, it's not by religion. Hey, Baptists who have never been saved go to the same hell. My friend, of unsaved Mormons, unsaved Muslims, unsaved Methodists, unsaved Buddhists, unsaved Catholics, hey, unsaved atheists, unsaved Baptists, unsaved Pentecostals. If you're unsaved, y'all go to the same hell. Religion's not what determines it. Doesn't matter who baptized you, who didn't baptize you. Amen. My Lord, I'm preaching simple, but the Lord knows I'm preaching right. Does not matter what in the world else you've done. Doesn't matter what kind of church you're a member of. Doesn't matter at all. What matters is, do you know the Lord Jesus and the free pardon of sin? And that is all that'll save you. Amen. It's not determined by religion. I want to tell you, it's not determined by social standing. I mean, you can be a doctor of law. You can live in penthouse. My friend, on the 45th floor of the greatest skyscraper around, it doesn't make any difference. Or you can live in a box somewhere other than the alley behind that skyscraper, and it don't make any difference. Salvation's by the same route. Amen. Social standing. I don't care if your family came over on the Mayflower. Amen. Or if for the past four generations, five, six, eight, 10, 12 generations, your papa, grandpa, great-grandpa's been preaching. It doesn't make any difference. That the heritage won't save you. God doesn't have any child that's a grandchild. They're all birthed directly from Him. Hey, man, that's right. I'll tell you, hey, friend, it's not by social standing. You can be on top of the world and spend forever in the bottom of hell. There's only one level at Calvary. And everybody stands on level ground. Amen. If your IQ is 140 or if it's 75, you stand on the same ground at Calvary. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners standing at the same ground at Calvary. Hey, it doesn't matter who your mom and daddy was, or even if you don't even know who they were. We're on the same ground at Calvary. Amen. Hey, and everybody will have to get saved the same way. It'll be between you and God on a personal level at the foot of the cross, realizing you're wrong, He's right, He's God, He's great, He's holy, you're small, insignificant, you need Him, He don't need you, but He loves you when you didn't even know how to love yourself, let alone love Him, and now I love Him because He first loved me. Amen. It's not determined by social standing. Your choice, now I'm not saying it's just a choice, but it is a choice. I mean, you don't just make a decision one day you're going to get saved. But it is a decision that you're going to have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the world's making decisions for Christ. And I don't want to leave the wrong impression here that it's just some sort of easy believism thing where you sign a card, you just decided that things are going to be different in your life. You just decided you're just going to go to heaven. No. But friend, is this issue of what will you do with this man you call Jesus? Amen. Will you accept Him or will you reject Him? That's what will determine it, friend. It's not determined by social standing. Your eternal destination is determined by what you do with Jesus. This decides your eternal destination. John 3:18 says this, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I hadn't made a choice, you're already condemned. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Everybody listening? You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Matter of fact, you can get drunk and stagger off into hell. But if you're going to go to heaven, you'll have to trust in Jesus to be your Savior. Amen. He that believeth not on Him, or believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hey, friend, 1 John 5:12 says it this way, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Hey, friend, all that matters is do you have Jesus living within or not? And that is all that will determine heaven or hell. Eternity has but two options. And you'll make your choice while you're yet here. While you're yet here. Amen. I'm done preaching. I wish they'd come on the song. Somebody come sing something the Lord's laid on their heart. Amen. Stand with us, please. Maybe somebody needs to pray this morning, needs to seek the face of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, if you've received Christ in your heart by faith, then you can be heaven bound. But if you have not, there is nothing else that will save your soul. Eternity has but two options. And the only way to decide on them is to answer the question, what will you do with Jesus? Today, if the Holy Spirit has come to you and knocked it on your heart's door and given you an opportunity to know the Lord, if you turn Him away, you've made the choice to go the way of hell. If you turn Him away, you've made the choice that you'll not receive Christ. And as a person who has rejected Him, His fan is in His hand. And He'll burn it with unquenchable fire. It's just that simple. But if you'll receive Christ into your heart, you can be happier than you ever imagined. You can make heaven your home. You can have happiness in heaven in your heart and fellowship with the good Holy Spirit on a daily basis all the way between here and there. And it's all up to you because you will have to make your choice. And now's the time to decide. Today's the day of salvation. So now's the time to do business with God. She's singing. You need to come pray this morning. The altars are open. Find you a place to do business with the Lord. Eternity has but two options. Saints all over the house praying.
Beyond the portals,
Christians all over the house praying.
Of time,
mamas and daddies need to be all over the house praying.
Land, a world of God.
If you need to know the Lord this morning, don't waste a moment. Just come do business with God. Find your place to pray.
Of God, I someday
find your place to call on the Lord.
My home.
Oh my.
I'm
glad when this poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
For the world.
Amen.
I never.
Eternity has but two options.
Singing Jesus. I never miss seeing.
Don't be foolish.
Loved ones.
Don't turn away your only hope of heaven.
Here below.
Don't turn away the Lord of glory.
I would never trade forever for a few days.
Some are praying in this altar. Some of them may be praying for you.
I never miss heaven for the world.
Are you absolutely certain you're saved? What you've got, will it do to live by? Or will it do to die by?
As for me and my
just about any old way will do to live by.
We will serve
the Lord. But only one way will do to die by.
Though things of earth may try
what you have, will it do to live by? Or will it do to die by?
Allure for the smile.
Are you sure of
God
you're saved?
Means much more than sin.
If you had to meet God today.
Days,
I
never
miss
heaven.
It is appointed a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. If you had to meet God today, are you satisfied that you're right with God?
I never miss.
Wow, my God, that's the most serious business we'll ever handle in our lives.
Oh,
if you had to meet God
would
today.
Never trade for.
Are you sure that you're right with God?
For a few days down here.
If there's a question in your mind, if there's a sliver of doubt, you ought to do business with God. You ought to get the old account settled. Amen.
As for me,
make sure you're
and
where
my
you need to be with God.
House,
make your calling and election sure.
We will serve the Lord, though things
make
of
your
earth
and election
may
sure.
Try to.
Make sure you're saved.
For the smile of God means much more than sin's brief glittering days.
Make
I
sure.
Never miss heaven for the world. I never
he
miss
he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Jesus, I never miss seeing.
He wants to carry you to heaven so much
ones.
As willing to die for your sins
here
so he could.
Below.
Oh, my.
Oh, I would never
greater love
hath
no man than this. That a man laid down his life for his
down
friends.
Here, I never miss heaven for the world.
Well, I preached what the Lord laid on my heart. Now it's up to you. Pilate brought Jesus out before the people and he said, what would you do with Jesus? What would you do with this man? That's the eternal question that'll be answered by men, women, boys, and girls in this life. What will you do with Jesus? Pilate had no idea of the significance of what he was saying. No idea. But this morning, what you do with Jesus will determine what Jesus does with you. Will he gather you into the garner? The store, the shelter? Or will he sweep you up, cast you off in the fire with his fan in his hand, and forever be wiped out of the mind of God while you're burning in eternal hell? It's serious business. Serious business. And nobody has to go to hell. Though most people are going, nobody has to. You must make your choice.